you Google Stephen Murray Galway, you'll come up with a sex offender. Seriously, it's, until my book was launched, Stephen Murray Galway, the first six entries were a fellow 3 years younger than me from Galway, who was in prison for sex offences, which is unfortunate when I worked at school. I'm telling you this now because the first book I'm going to read you is about a girl I knew in a children's home who was 13. I was 14, okay? I don't harbour these feelings for 13-year-old girls now. You know, although I do have my pervy moments. Oh, filter. Okay, so this is called Tammy, Love in a Children's Home. Tammy came to my room in the night in her slip. She was braless and brainless and breathless and only 13. She would sit at the end of my bed and part her legs ever so slightly, and my heart would beat a good thump of it as her nipples pressed hard against soft white cotton. And her flesh was an evil genius, and her flesh was a criminal mastermind, and her flesh was Moriarty. Oh Tammy, oh Tammy, trembled the dust. Burn me, burn me, burn me. Then she spoke about men and the back seats of cars as she opened my window and unclipped the stars. I drooled the mouth for the marmalade of her, and I longed for the skin of her butterscotch thighs. I would give her the world, the land and the sea, and for the salt of her sweat I would throw in the skies. And her lips were the fall of mankind, and her blue eyes were time spent in jail. Tamara, Tamara, grovelled the night. Rev up your engines and fire up the lights. I am yours. And her scent was a Jedi mind trick, and her innocence was an old man's tongue. Tammy fucked every man on our street and came to my room with a knife in her slip to torment me. They fucked her behind bushes and they beat her black in blue daylight. She seems to enjoy the drama of it. I think it made Tammy feel grown up. And her voice was a song and her skin was a life sentence. Tamara, Tamara, God damn you to the gutters, screamed the bright white lights of the day as her space, as her teenage spaceship crashed somewhere in the silhouetted distance. Tammy came to my room in the night in her slip to torment me. With the flesh of her thighs and her bright blue eyes, and I pandered to the dust, and I took great gulps of the thin air she breathed. Oh, for one crumb from her navel. Oh, for one spoonful of marmalade. Oh, for young Tammy, who was only 13, with a body to cry for and a face that would launch 1,000 fists. Tammy came to my room in the night in her slip. She was braless and breathless and brainless and only 13. Thank you. It's quite heavy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try and mix them up between the joyous ones, potentially about my love affairs with girls with mental sickness, which I tend to fall in love with mentally sick girls. I'm not sure what it said about me. I just don't think they're mentally sick. I think they're unicorns. And this one is about one such girl. So actually, I chased her to Rome. And what a disaster she was. Anyway, so Little Miss Infinity. It's quite old, but I like it. Infinity was a mystery, though no one really knows. She was visited one winter by a murder of sad crows. They played for her a song upon their black violins with broken-hearted melodies on rusty wire strings. She nestled in their feathers, and she made their nest her home. But now they're gone, and Little Miss Infinity is alone. She slumbered on their plumage all alone at number 9, so one night she hears a music box and a filthy snort of swine. The bathroom tap is dripping and the lights are all lit low. The cupboard door is banging where the shadow bracken grow. It happened while she slept one night when she woke up to find a boy who had 4 faces and a clock that told no time. Each face told her a story both fantastical and wild, while shadows on the banisters were creeping up the tiles. Now she feeds her solitude to the pigs beneath the bed, and the boy who has 4 faces tells her all the crows are dead. and the carousel spins backwards as the clowns move in from the lion tamer's surface to her prison cell of skin. She wanders in infinity, but her legs refuse to stand. She reaches into darkness for an unclean hand. In the black and swollen murkiness, she finds a friendly claw, and in the sight of blackness, hears an old familiar crawl. "Look," says the crow, "Infinity, let's see what we can find." And there she sees Infinity, a waltzing in her mind. So she gathers up some broken quills and summons windy weather. She sails across the silver hills in a carpet made of feather. With vicious furry mammals and swine in hot pursuit, a social worker and a child psychologist to boot. Now she's rising above rooftops and she sails above the crowds, above the cheering elements. Against the snarling elements, above the cheering crowds. And she sings to them that everything impossible is mine. Flying Little Miss Infinity, who lives at number 9. So I'm going to... Actually, you know what? Thank you. I'm far too insecure and egotistical. I'll just judge myself on the applause. So let's just... So say no for one big applause, or one big, or just spit at me at the end, one of the two. Because otherwise I'll just fall apart up here. When I was young, I used to like sniffing glue. And this is about that. Our brains on dry ice, pupils full as black moons, buzzing around loveless corridors, 100 wing beats per tiny frozen second, multicolored in the silver world. Floating at the speed of cartwheels, bouncing slowly up each other like balloons at a birthday party for a child in a wheelchair. I'm not going to make this any more cheery with this next poem, but it's some nice things about it. So it comes in three parts. It's called Son of a Goat. Yes, the house fell down. A woman screamed. Mother, I think. Pictures fell off the wall. Pipes burst. Upstairs in the bathroom, the standalone bath, the one with the brass lion legs bubbled like a cauldron, cracked clean in two. Someone called for help. It was mother again, I think. Anyway, the water, boiling it was, cracked to the floor, ceramic tiles shattered, plaster on the walls and ceilings cracked, then the roof fell in. Shut the fuck up, a voice said, but I haven't said anything, honest. It was mother again, I think. Yes, if you must know, I was terrified. I was afraid. Clutched Teddy teardrop tight. He had never been the same since someone burnt out his little plastic beady bear eyes. Mother again, I think. Moving on, I ran as fast as little legs can carry the coffins of the parents who lay themselves buried alive before they were born. Forget I said that. It's finished. Over. Done with. Scratch it. Scrub it. Rub it out. Let's play truth or dare. Son of a Goat, Part 2. Organized people have bookmarks in their thing. Son of a Goat, Part 2. Okay, so yes, it was raining. Great big splinters of broken glass punctured my tiny chicken thighs. My little red boy lips peeled back. Tantrum's agony going apeshit at it. Son of a goat I was, they said. And poor Teddy with his burnt out eyes whispered stop too late. Banged into a wall of night I did. It was a man 6 times the size of a 6-year-old's world. Put a black plastic bag over my head he did. Bundled me into the boot of a car. Heard a woman's voice laugh. Mother again, I think. Felt something shift beside me, above me, below me, squirming all around me. Babies in black sacks. Socks stuffed into their mouths. Heard the car pull up beside running water. A man's heavy boot walked through rushes and a voice, mother again, I think, told him to go and fetch the wicker baskets. When I drifted ashore, the music started. Teddy and I parted ways. I pulled off his arms and legs, set fire to his potty synthetic filling. Told him to shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. The song that played I hated with an infernal passion. It was one of mother's old favourites. Dr. Hook, I think. Dr. Hook, I think. Dr. Hook, I think. Kept running, kept raining, kept bumping into your man, Mr. Wall of Famished Night, my little legs now 33. Hissed a ride on a rocking horse, her voice is in my head. Yep, mother again, I think. Pulled plastic bags off my own skull, filled them with puke and tears, felt needles in my arms, found the treasure hunt of little brown bottles with my very own name on them that had been left for me by mother again. I'm going to break it up between this one and the next one, because it's quite heavy, with a little love poem. Because I reckon... None of the poems that, men and women tell so many lies to each other, and all the poems here that I said across someone, they're actually for someone else that doesn't deserve them, so I put them to people who do deserve them, the whole thing's a lie. That's love in general. So it's for Lucy, my girlfriend, but really it's for a one-night stand I had in London. Because let's face it, poets chasing after you, reciting poetry is pretty scary, kind of stalkerish. For our earlier sex offender story. From an English rose. Her song in time to my heartbeat, in tune to my every whim. She sang to me there from the therapist's chair, my rose in the garden of sin. Oh yeah, that girl Katie, the one who changed the room. So anyway, she came to live with me, and after about 10 minutes, I just thought, oh God, thank God we didn't write, because if we did, this is what would have happened. It's gone wallpaper. First the fairground, perfect colours and a carousel. The song that played became your song. Lips closed around candy floss. Stepped off a roller coaster into a chapel. The sex was great. Bought a house, semi-detached, wallpaper. 6 months and a moment later, silence pregnant with a row. Wallpaper. 10 years and a lifetime on. The long drive home just around the corner from the job. That fucking job. The wife you hate and the wallpaper. The mood swings, screaming children, hidden hers, personality disorders, wallpaper and the television. The broken washing machine, the stranger in your bed, wallpaper and the sex when she chooses. The job, the screaming kids, the car, the television, soap operas, chat shows, wallpaper. One day you'll tell her, one day you'll come screaming, clenching your fists, breathing fire, slinging feces at the wall. It was the wallpaper, that fucking wallpaper. Smashing glass, screaming children. She will cry, phone her mother. The kids will cower from you. A chat show host will point a priest's finger at you. You will cut your feet on the splinters of your vow. You will not be let forget ever. They will remind you of it over and over again. Your humiliation will become their next dramatic addiction. Happiness shall haunt you, mock you wherever you look. The television, the soaking teenagers, soap operas, chat shows, prison food, sex, wallpaper. So, we never got together. So we go part three, and I'm going to finish with something cheery. Really, it's actually cheery. So I'm going to go part three. Yes, okay, so I met a girl, took the black bag off my head, she did. Changed the record, took me by the hand, my little man there, bitten to the quick of boyish despair. Slammed the door in the face of Mr. Wall of famished night, she did. Got an apartment for us, nice place, wooden floor, stand-up lamps, too many mirrors, no stairs and plants, wall corners, I think. Laid me down, she did, said nice things, had clear skin, put her hand on my brow and said everything was going to be okay. I stared at the ceiling, waited for the plaster to crack, for the pictures to fall from the wall, for the house to cave in. I dreamt about it, howled about it, broke into convulsions of sweat in my sleep about it. I trembled for it, shivered for it, did unchristian things for my nerves for it. I willed it to happen, I did, I swear I did. Heard my lady start to scream, shouted at me, she did. Told me to shut the fuck up. Some china smashed, ceramic tiles cracked to the floor. Bust her lip, the silly cow. Caught my knuckles on something soft. She was asking for it, gagging for it. Hit all the back bags into something by Chanel. Drank all the booze, monopolized suffering. Nailed it, killed it, made it hers. Lay naked on her bed in tears, she did. Her alabaster smile cracked in two. The inside of her thighs swirling like a thunderstorm. Her red eyes boiling in her skull. Just then, bang, hurrah, the roof caved in. Slap, eureka, the walls caught fire. She pleaded me to stop, she did. Said that she loved me, the chancer, the swindler, the whore. Found her out at once, I did. And the face was different, entirely different. And the body also, beautiful, too young. Master of disguise she was. Wore the face of 1,000 women. Did you think I was stupid? I know that bitch's voice anyway. I've been hearing it all my life. Then someone laughed, a woman's voice. It was you-know-who again, I think. So after that one, I'm going to finish with a nice cheery poem. Not sure how long I've read for. Could be 5 minutes or hours. Okay, let me just do
more.
I'll do another love poem. This one, again, what I wrote for a Czech air hostess. And I think I just saw her, actually. And I sent her this poetry to call the police. So, I've got a letter to Prague. Yeah. Scattering letters like confetti upon the blank page of now, hurling dreams like Roman candles into the blind skies of tomorrow. In your image, a metamorphosis of life unfurls from cocoon silk to butterfly, from chrysalis to dragon, breathing fire upon the playground of my wild and swirling self, a wind caught in the sails upon the galleons of my being, where I am rogue prince of many loves reborn in clown flesh, torn from the bones of mischief, man oak stripped of foliage, perfect science robbed of reason, a tiger's skeleton poised to pounce, frozen against your white sky, fingers like the frail ends of branches, shivering to the warm breeze, and the thought of you, a trembling nebula of entire galaxies caught in a shuddering glimpse, a letter from God and a tongue I want to understand completely, black spaces between shimmering stars, the answers to everything in a universe wrapped in your skin. Girls can get funny about poems like that, and she just legged it. And the girl did my cover, always does a book bite cover. And she's we've worked together, and she asked me to write a poem about hares, not pubes, the animal. And she just said, don't mention the hare. So I just did loads of research on it. So I did loads of research on it. We came with this, she did this art book that was great. And I looked into it, and hares all have the same mythology. The Chinese year of the rabbit is actually the year of the hare. The Easter egg comes from Osiris, who was a pagan goddess of the dawn. She had a rabbit, she had a hare's head. Freaky. And she had a little bird that she turned into a big white rabbit that would lay brightly coloured eggs, and she was a bird by children. That's where Easter comes from. And Easter eggs come from. Also, when they turn up in Buddhism, they turn up in the ancient pharaoh, they represent birth, rebirth, doom, lots of shit. But also when they mate, the jack will dance for the Jill. She'll then give them a box, and then they'll get down and dirty, like Tralee. And so I tried to write this poem, just, you know, not mentioning any of that, but working on the rhythm of them bounding and dancing. And, called Visions of the Divine on Hare Island. Slap back upon the heels of a drum, on the hunchback heather with a sliver of a myth made mad, on the march of a goddess of a Hun, turned up with Buddha with a lip curled red raw gum. Stood Pharaoh in a southpaw stance, with his black bride screaming like a Wiccan at a blind man's dance. Sprang panic from the Sanskrit gloom, bad dream, mad head, last seen, half dead, part birth, part messenger of unspent doom, first spring seen, scratching on the surface of stillborn moon. Thank you. I'm going to do one more poem then, and then this is for Aoife, actually for Emma.
My name was Emma.
Yeah, I know, because I thought you might know her because she was living here. So I thought, when you read it, I thought you read it before. I thought she would have said, yeah, he wrote this for me, and now it's in my book, it's brilliant for Aoife. It's just the girls I really love, you know. And I really do, and I deserve more. They're not here, that's why I'm telling you all this. You are my morning these days, pictured naked, half dreaming, soothed by a hymn of soft moans, eyes drinking subtle glimpses of sunshine screen for attention, hands caressing the light contours of some Lady Christ unconscious self, a dreamy wedding cake eaten whole alone, a celebration of slumber's gentle rape. I was going to throw something in there. I'm going to finish off now with, I don't actually need this. It's my celebration of pagan Ireland and my damning indictment of Catholicism. And it's called Coven of the Scarecrow. And it goes like this. And thank you for listening. And thanks for having me here. It's a wonderful night. I love that. What was that thing about the 5-hour challenge? Mm-hmm. I'm mad about it. It's brilliant. It's great fun. So it's called Coven of the Scarecrow. Once upon a mountain, where the heart beats off the Balron, rang a whispering of thunder to the corpses in the ground. There rambled to a thicket with her red hair in a locket, a mangled Jack and Jill, though he was quite the cut of man. She was sat upon a pile of bones, feasting with the panthers in the coven of the Scarecrow with the Joker in her pan. And she dealt for him a hand of cards and beckoned him to gamble, or he knew was set in stone against the scriptures in the sand. She held a flush and watched the Queen of Clubs to him apart. Then she bet him beetle grubs to watch him vanish into darkness. And when he came to waken, how he felt the mountain shaken, for she held him in her arms, and then she sang to him at last. She said that she'd been waiting with the sinners and forsaken, and the Wiccans in the wood gave her his likeness in a doll. And she'd have filled it full of pins if only hearts were made of metal, but it plucked her like a nettle from her bed amongst the thorns. Then she led him through a siren's door and let her garments fall. And she said, if my lord shall be my king, then I shall be your whore. And they fell that night together, all their shadows rose like hackles, so they growled like jackals to the howling of the moon. When morning came, he rose like Christ and throwing back his shoulders, he said, now, my love, I'll show you where the lightning seeds are sown. We'll feast beneath the apple tree and drive St. Patrick back to sea. In the coven of the Scarecrow, we shall live forevermore. We'll have ourselves an orgy on the banks of the Black Shannon, then upon the hill of Tara, we shall build the shrines of Cairn. So they raised a hocus pocus against the flooding of the earth. Then they swat the plague of locusts with the smoke of burning turf. The harlot queen was dancing when they bet the ace of spades against the king of hearts, who hadn't won a soul in half an age. As his queen and down her hymen, Jill bet the dawn against the stars, but Jack was king of diamonds and the king of hearts the fool. So Jill, my love, I can't stop now for all the joy I've tasted till the sober world is wasted crawling naked on the floor. So you have to back with Jesus' sake, for Tara and for Ireland's sake, and then my love to burn the snakes, and then you brought the more. And we won't see the virgin shimmer through a shroud of lies, and we won't stop until we see the whites of Pilate's eyes, and they won't fire their arrows as the stone cathedrals fall, with their guns and we stand naked proud against the Pontiff's wall. So lead me through your chamber door and take me on the stony floor, and I shall be your goddess, and the dawn shall be your whore. We'll feast beneath the apple tree and drive St. Patrick back to sea. In the coven of the scarecrow we shall live forevermore. Thank you very much for listening.